The discussion of antibiotics and resistance has been going on long enough now that most of us know the issues. The more we use antibiotic drugs, it seems, the more the bugs we're trying to fight develop resistance to them. So judicious use of antibiotics can, in theory, slow the resistance cycle down. Oregon has had a program in place for years called AWARE, Alliance Working for Antibiotic Resistance Education. And even though it's showing clear results, the efforts continue. Last week was Get Smart About Antibiotics Week in Oregon. So here's a chance to talk about the issue broadly and to focus more narrowly on the efforts to cut back on antibiotic use. Dr. Ann Thomas is with the Oregon Health Authority's Public Health Division and is the AWARE Medical Director. Dr. Thomas, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for inviting me on the show today.
So how long has AWARE been around?
2001, I was looking back. That's the first year we received funding from CDC. And it's been interesting because, you know, initially it was a pretty big program. CDC funded, I think, 30 states to have these programs. And funding, you know, just, you know, it Congress decides how much funding CDC gets, and that, you know, then determines how much we get. And so through the years, they've had some cutbacks. We're now down to, I think, about 8 to 10 programs. But luckily, we've managed to hold on to our funding and keep the program going.
Well, CDC certainly thought it was important enough to undertake this back in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
What's the general issue with antibiotics, and why is it important to only prescribe them in certain situations?
Well, there's I'll just start with kind of the basic tenets of why we do what we do. I think one is that if antibiotics are overused, then they won't be useful. And I think this is a very key thing, and I don't think people realize the significance of it or how it's different from other drugs. You know, if a physician prescribes a blood pressure medication or a cholesterol-lowering agent that isn't really necessary for the patient, you know, it's bad medicine for several reasons. It drives up costs. It could have side effects. But it doesn't ruin that class of medications for that patient later on if they do need it. And it doesn't ruin it for everyone else. But, you know, using antibiotics and causing resistance, you know, does kind of ruin it for everyone else. The second issue is that, again, as I mentioned, it's just sort of bad medicine to prescribe things that people don't need. It drives up costs. It can cause side effects. CDC recently published the threat of antimicrobial resistance. And one of the things they have some figures on, just sort of the issue of adverse events. And so, for instance, you know, it's an adverse event from an antibiotic is the most common reason that kids under the age of 5 seek medical attention for an adverse drug reaction. And there have been a study, this is in all ages, that showed that basically 1 out of 5 visits for adverse events to emergency departments is because of an antibiotic. And it works out that among people who take antibiotics, you have a 1 in 1,000 chance of being sick enough to seek care in an emergency department.
Well, so what are the greatest efforts then? What situations is AWARE working most to stop?
Well, it's nice actually in a way that we have managed to kind of broaden our scope here at the Health Division. When AWARE first started, we were focused largely on decreasing use of antibiotics for viral respiratory infections, and the actual AWARE mission has really focused on sort of what's going on in the outpatient setting. And the driver for that was that around that time, 2000, there was increasing resistance to a bacteria called Streptococcus pneumoniae, which is the leading cause of pneumonia, ear infections, sinusitis, and the second leading cause of bloodstream infections after Staph aureus. At that point, about 25% of cases nationally were resistant to penicillin. And they also looked at just kind of outpatient pharmacy data and found that 75% of people who get antibiotics are getting them for a respiratory infection, and then over half of those are unnecessary. So that became a big driver. Now, in the meantime, partly due to, I think, our efforts, particularly here in Oregon, we've really seen resistance to strep pneumonia go down. But part of that is also due to the fact that a new vaccine was licensed for children in 2000, and a more active one has recently been released. That was in 2010. And it's sort of what happens is there are 80 strains of pneumococcus, and the vaccine covers the 7 that are most common in children. But it turns out that those were the types that also were most likely to carry resistance. So in some ways, that's sort of been an success, probably in combination of decreased antibiotic use and vaccines, that there's less of a threat. But we have, over the years, gotten more involved in healthcare-associated infections in general, both in sort of their prevention and their infection control. And then for a lot of these, there's also the big issue of resistant infections in the hospital. So, for instance, last year we got a grant to start developing a sort of a protocol to prevent the emergence in Oregon of something called the broad category is multi-drug resistant organisms, but in particular some gram-negative organisms, which are often ones that are found in the GI tract and can cause really sort of among people who are immunosuppressed or elderly or have chronic conditions. These are the ones that you hear about in the hospital. They're really life-threatening and really can develop, you know, resistance patterns, making them almost impossible to treat. So now we've worked with, you know, hospitals and infectious disease doctors and long-term care facilities around the state to sort of, one, to institute surveillance for these bugs because they weren't on our list of reportable diseases, and now they are, and we've worked with, a number of stakeholders around the state to develop a plan to contain them. And we've been fairly successful. I think we've had three of these so far in the last, I guess that was about 2011 that we really started surveillance. But they've all been from out of state, and we haven't had any further spread in the state. So I think we're both working on both sort of the threats that you see in the hospital as well as the ones outside of the hospital now.
Dr. Ann Thomas is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's with the Oregon Health Authority Public Health Division. She's the medical director for AWARE, the Alliance Working for Antibiotic Resistance Education. You can join us to talk about AWARE's efforts and successes in Oregon. Our phone number is 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. 541-552-6782 in the Rogue Valley. Email jx@jeffnet.org. Steve and Eugene, welcome to the Exchange.
Howdy. My mother at 90 died of MRSA, a type of antibiotic-resistant pneumonia. She died in the hospital where she caught it.
Yeah.
Now, the hospital is full of sick people, full of germs. It almost leads me to believe that, you know, unless I need something really specialized, like a operation or something. If I'm sick, the hospital's the last place I want to be.
All right. So
how
we'll
true
take
that is that?
Yeah.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, that's a great topic, I think. One thing is very interesting. It was almost, appropriate that, at the lead-in, we were just before this show started, we were listening to Garrison Keillor, and he was quoting the work of Lewis Thomas, who wrote Lives of a Cell, and I think I read that in college. And a part that I'd forgotten about is he was sort of saying, the secret that doctors and only their wives know is that, most things get better by themselves. And I think we're sort of, it's funny, my sister lived in the Netherlands for a while, and she said, and I told her that I was, starting this program to reduce unnecessary use of antibiotics and how big of a problem it was in the U.S. Everyone wants to go to the doctor and get an antibiotic. And her reply was, gosh, in the Netherlands, you kind of have to be dying before you go to the doctor. I mean, it's just, they don't just hand out stuff, and they don't really want to see you unless you're sick. So I think Steve is right that you probably, don't want to get treated unnecessarily. Now, as for the issue of MRSA in hospitals, that has been a serious concern, and that's another area that we've been working on with CDC. We're one of 10 states that participate in something called the Emerging Infections Program, and we do surveillance for things that aren't necessarily reportable in other states, or if they are, we do oftentimes like a more thorough investigation and get the isolates, and they're sent to CDC so they can, look at molecular.
Okay, he mentioned MRSA. You called it MRSA. This is methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus?
Yes. Yeah, that's it. And, I think there was sort of a time that in hospital just people felt like, well, it's here and it's everywhere and there's not that much we can do, but we've really seen a change in that attitude in the last 5 years. I think CDC has put a lot of emphasis, as well as there's something called IDSA, the Infectious Disease Society of America. A lot of hospital epidemiologists have really been working on this, and we've done a lot of things to do things as simple as improving hand-washing strategies among healthcare workers to, changing the way you actually do procedures that can cause it. So, for instance, one of the ways that you might get this infection is because it's something that it's a bacteria that lives on your skin. So it's when you get an IV put in, for instance, then that's a time when it could get access and get into your bloodstream and cause a life-threatening infection or get in and cause a pneumonia. So now they've developed, and I think they were sort of varying standards for what kind of infection control precautions you took. Some people would just kind of, you know, swab some alcohol or betadine and throw it in, you know, compared to, like, you know, putting, you know, covering the area all around it with a, you know, a drape, and then, you know, actually having the healthcare worker who's putting it in to, you know, put on gloves and a gown and a mask. And so now we have what's called kind of a bundle. It's a very standardized list of precautions. Everyone in the room who, you know, if there's a nurse helping the physician do it, everyone's aware of what has to be done, and there's checklists. And we have fortunately seen a decrease in these infections, here in Oregon and nationally. So I think that's encouraging. And I, you know, CDC now calls, their director, Thomas Frieden, has this list of 10 winnable battles, and among them are things like, you know, the war on obesity and alcohol and injuries. But healthcare-associated infections are one of the winnable battles, and it's something that CDC and state and local health departments are taking a lot more seriously and, you know, working with hospitals to reduce these. So I think Steve's right. I frankly try not to, you know, you don't want to go into a hospital or, you know, undertake unnecessary procedures. But I think the healthcare profession is really taking this a lot more seriously.
Mm-hmm. So if you're not getting better by yourself, then certainly that's time to think about medical care.
Yeah, certainly. And on our web, you can just Google Oregon Aware, and you'll come up to our homepage, and we have kind of resources for people. And so particularly with respiratory infections, we have a list of things, you know, you can read about and look at what are the worrisome symptoms and what are the things that you really need to, you know, call your healthcare provider about. And I think most offices these days, you know, generally don't want you in there unless you are sick. I mean, it drives up costs and takes up time. So oftentimes there's sort of a triage person, too, that you can call and talk to, you know, a nurse and get a feel for what things you could do at home or whether you're really sick enough to have to seek care.
All right. Dr. Ann Thomas from AWARE, the Alliance Working for Antibiotic Resistance Education, is our guest. She's the medical director at AWARE at the Oregon Health Authority Public Health Division. 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, or jx@jeffnet.org. Jamie in Medford, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Yes, good morning, Jeffrey. Good morning, doctor.
Hi.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, a comment that basically the reason why we are developing these antibiotic-resistant germs is because they're being overprescribed, because there's some culture. I'm not sure what it is. But it basically says that I've come all the way to this doctor for a reason, and I'm paying good money, so I deserve to walk away with something. And that turns out to be a prescription for something that may or may not be apropos to their situation. And secondly, I'm surprised it hasn't come up that once you are prescribed this regimen of antibiotics, you have to take the entire amount. Otherwise, you're just building bigger and better germs for the next people to have to handle. And Jeffrey, I'll take the comments from the good doctor off the phone, if I may.
All right. Thanks, Jamie. Appreciate that. Yeah, I have seen that, Ann. What is the reason for taking the entire course of antibiotics?
Well, that's to ensure that you really kill the infection, especially get the resistant bugs. So say you have an infection and say a Streptococcus pneumonia infection, and you probably a sinusitis or something, and you get a 7 to 10 day course of antibiotics. Oftentimes, you will kind of turn the corner, so to speak, in a day or two. But at that point, you have not killed all the bacteria, and so then at that point, say you had a mixture of maybe some that were resistant and some that were sensitive to the antibiotic. You know, the ones that are susceptible to the antibiotic, you know, some of those will have been killed off, but then some that are resistant will not be killed. And if you kept taking the medication and took it the whole time, it would probably knock those out. But then those, you know, ones that were resistant, maybe the few ones that were resistant, have, you know, are now proliferating.
So I'm still trying to figure out the dynamic. I don't know if Jamie characterized it fairly from your perception, but in the doctor-patient or, you know, patient, family nurse practitioner, whoever,
mm-hmm. Sure.
Relationship, why would a medical professional give antibiotics for what appears to be a viral infection, which is not helped?
Yeah, it's a multifactorial problem, and that's why a lot of the things that AWARE has done, we've tried to do educational programs both for clinicians and for the general public. I think clinicians are, you know, I think there was a time, say, in the 70s or 80s where, you know, people come in, they're not feeling well. You know, it seems like it's a virus, but, you know, there's a chance that maybe there's a 5% chance it's a bacterial infection. Or oftentimes we do see cases, for instance, and sinusitis is a classic one where you have a cold for a few days and you're feeling better. And then you do sort of, you know, say a week in, you get worse or you have a fever, and you can, bacterial infection can sometimes precipitate a bacterial infection. You know, you start out with a virus, but then it maybe sets up a condition where a bacterial infection can occur. So maybe you would have a bacterial infection later, and so I think sometimes clinicians might think that they're preventing a bacterial infection, or at least, you know, helping people feel better. But in the 70s or 80s, there was sort of less of a downside because there wasn't so much resistance. Now we have resistance, and although these drugs are very commonplace and mostly well-tolerated, things like amoxicillin and penicillin and zithromycin, you know, they're not without side effects. So you really shouldn't be doing that. But I think because we did that for so many decades in this country, that's sort of become the standard. And the fact is, if you've had a viral infection in the past and you got antibiotics, you did feel better because you were going to feel better anyway, but that, you know, becomes sort of a powerful sort of reinforcing message that, yeah, I got antibiotics and my doc said to take the, or I had a cold, or, you know, I was really stuffy and I had this terrible cough and I couldn't sleep at night, and the doc said I should take these. So, of course, you now think that I should always take these. I remember when I was in practice for a couple of years before I changed to public health. So, of course, by then I was much younger, and I just would always get this look like, oh, you're a young doctor who doesn't know what she's doing because you're not giving me antibiotics.
Huh, interesting. Okay, well, but that's, you know, that's the greatest point, though, is that if you took the antibiotics and you felt better, you're going to feel better anyway, but then you associated them with the antibiotics, the good
exactly.
feelings. Got it. So Dr. Ann Thomas is the medical director at AWARE, the Alliance Working for Antibiotic Resistance Education through the Oregon Health Authority Public Health Division. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Oh, my pleasure.
Good to have you. Apologies to Connie. We don't have time to take your call. This is the end of the hour. Back on hour number two of the Jefferson Exchange, we'll talk to Frank Tavares about his fiction writing. He's also the voice of NPR.